to be higher, Lord, where you are, to be deeper, Lord, where you are, God, to be wider where you are, Lord. We thank you, God, that you stir our hearts. We thank you, God, that you change our hearts. We thank you, God, for the joy of the Lord comes out of your holiness, Lord God, and just strengthens us. Strengthens us for the walk ahead. Strengthens us for today, Lord God. We are blessed. We are blessed, Lord God, that such a holy God, Lord, would die for our sins. That such a holy God, Lord, would love us with that kind of passion, oh God, with that kind of fervent passion, oh God. Lord, our minds can hardly comprehend, but our hearts respond, Lord God, to your Holy Spirit who touches us every minute of every day. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and fill us with your love and your joy and the spirit of worship, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are an awesome Savior. We thank you that you are our healer, Lord God, that you are everything we need this morning. And I just want to praise you with all my heart and soul, my mind, my strength, and my being, Lord. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I will come when you call upon my name. I will come to you in the valleys, and I will come to you on the mountaintop. I will come to you in the storms, and I'll come to you in the sunlight. I'll come to you in the nighttime, and I'll come to you in the day. And I'll come when you're struggling, and I'll come when you're strong. For I came that I would always be able to come. To be with you, to live in you, to dwell with you. That you would be my people and I would be your God. So know in your heart that I will always be with you, says the Lord. And I will come every time you whisper my name. For I am your shepherd and you hear my voice and you follow no other. For I've laid down my life to love you for all eternity, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that together. Nothing is impossible with God. God said to Abraham, is anything too difficult for God? Is anything too difficult? It's an amazing thing to hear, isn't it? Jesus said to the father of the demonized son, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, if you can believe, if you can believe.
Yes.
The angel said to Mary, what did he say? What did the angel say to Mary? In Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing's impossible. I think he's trying to give us a message. When Jesus came to the synagogue's ruler's home, they said to him, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. Isn't that what they said? Let's see. What did they say? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard what was spoken, he said these famous words. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. And his daughter was dead. His daughter was dead. God is the God of the dead and the living. He's able to call those things that be not as though they were. He's given that authority to you and I.
Yes.
So let's look at, where are we going to go here? Romans 10. Thank you, Lord. Romans 10. Starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved or sozo. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto sozo. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will never be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the names of the Lord shall be sozo. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. What does that mean? What do you hear when you hear that, when you hear those words spoken? Faith is often a very misunderstood area. And God is calling you and I to a place where we absolutely believe.
Amen.
And it's possible to get there. But you have to give of yourself to get there. You have to enter into a place where you believe that God is able, that nothing is impossible with him, and that he will fulfill his word. So we read here, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. This is a really important verse. What is that saying to us? What is righteousness? Right standing with God. What does that mean? It means simply that I'm in a place where I can speak to God or I can speak his word. I have right standing with God. But without the second part of that verse, I'm in trouble. Because the Bible says in James, I think it's chapter 2, verse 19 or thereabouts, even the you believe there's one God, even the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons believe. So this verse in Romans 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, is only half of what's necessary. Because without the rest of it, we don't move forward. And with the mouth, and with the mouth, and with the mouth, boy, it's like the body of Christ passed over this. With the mouth, confession is made unto sozo. Confession is made unto sozo. What is he telling us there? It's not enough to just believe. It's not enough. It's not enough. I could say to you, I believe God is my healer. And that's wonderful. And if that's all I do, it's nothing. It's nothing. I have to move past that and add the second part of this verse, which is, and with my mouth, I confess that he is my healer. I confess that he is my healer. Even when the blind people came to Jesus, and it was very evident they're blind, Jesus, what did he say to them?
What do you want from me?
What do you want? Well, duh, I'm blind. What do you think I want? Why was he asking them?
Confession.
Because their confession. That is, you know, when you read in the book of Genesis, it does not say, and God thought, and then there was light. And God thought, and then there was da-da-da. And God thought. What does it say? God said. God said. He spoke things into existence. He didn't think them into existence. He spoke them. And so that's why it's absolutely essential. When Jesus said to them, what do you want? They said, we want to see. And he said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, that's their confession. That was their confession. They spoke the word of the Lord. And this here is kind of a, this portion in Romans is like a mini lesson in faith and how faith works and how faith develops. Because the first part of it here is that the faith is in your mouth. You're speaking the word. You're speaking the word. You're speaking the word. Speaking the word. And when we begin to speak the word, typically, we're not full of faith.
Amen.
We're not. You know, we begin to speak the word over a situation. You know, we're kind of, we're like the father who Mark chapter 9, who said to Jesus, you know, if you can do anything, please do something. And he said, if you can believe. And the father said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. See, that's honest. He's honest. I do believe Jesus, but there's a small part that's not exactly convinced. And you know, that is the right thing to do, because even the disciples couldn't do it. The disciples couldn't do it. And why couldn't they do it? They were authorized to do it. Jesus gave them power and authority. So why couldn't they do it? What did he say before that? Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. You're not at a place yet where your faith has risen to the place where it can impact. Now, there are different levels where you need to spend time in prayer and fasting. But you know what? It was interesting. Jesus didn't say, so bring him back next week. Why didn't he say that? If that's what was required, why didn't Jesus tell the Father, bring him back next week?
Jesus' faith was already there.
So what he's telling the disciples is that your faith isn't where it needs to be for this. But you can get there by prayer and fasting. You can get there and then be ready the next time to be ready for it. Because the opposition that we face isn't all the same level. There are different levels of demonic power. But Jesus defeated every one of them. Every one of them. But you and I, we grow in faith. We grow in faith. In verse 11 it says, whoever believes on Jesus will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. For whoever calls on the name, and the word name there is really the names of Jesus, all the ways that he is referred to, shall be sozo. What is that promise telling us? That no matter what God has promised, no matter what he's promised, if he's promised it, you can have it. Meet the conditions and you can have it. Meet the conditions and you can have it. What do you mean, meet the conditions? Well, if you want to be saved, what conditions do you have to meet? You have to believe Jesus is God's Son. You have to believe that he died for your sins. And you have to believe that he will be your Lord and Savior when you ask him to. That's the condition. Then you ask him to, and he saves us. He saves us. But the Bible is very interesting in many, many, many ways. Because it tells us things like Psalm 45, verse 1. Let's see what that says. Psalm 45, verse 1. Everybody there? My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King, concerning Jesus. I recite my composition. Doesn't that sound like confession? I confess my composition. What would be my composition? The words that I'm speaking to the King. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. What do you hear in this verse? What does it mean? My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King to the King. And my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. What do you hear in that?
Whatever I speak out of my mouth, I always hear.
Maybe. No, more to it than that.
Your heart has to be right.
Your heart has to be right.
That when you speak, like a permanent recording, when somebody writes something down, it's recorded. And so here it's saying, when I recite my book, says here verses, you said composition. So what I believe, so my heart is stirred by a noble theme of faith, and I'm reciting my faith in the King. I'm speaking my beliefs, and my tongue has the power of a skilled writer.
Good. Good. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. That means that I have filled my heart with the Word of God. I have filled my heart, my mind, my spirit with the Word of God. Soaking in the Word, we could say. Meditating in the Word. Pondering the Word of God. Thereafter, I recite, I confess my composition concerning the King. Means that I am now confessing what I believe about Jesus. What I believe about Jesus. What I believe about God. What does that mean? It means that when I read the Word of the Lord, and I've soaked in the verse, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He himself bore my infirmities, carried away my... Or whatever verse you want. Whatever verse where God has made a promise to you, that you are reciting that, that you are speaking that to him, about him, and about his promise. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. That means I'm really quite careful about what I'm saying. And that my words are definitely a part of my believing the King. Of my believing the King. And where are these words going to impact first and foremost? Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. What is truth? The Word. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. How will you write them on the tablet of your heart? I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. And as I am doing that, I am writing them on the tablet of my heart. The words that I am speaking are impacting me. They're impacting me. They're affecting me. I start to think about them. That changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is it important what you think about?
Yes.
Why? Why is it important what you think about? Proverbs 23:7. Now, it says here, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. But the Young Literal Translation here says, for as he has thought in his soul, in his mind, so is he. What does that say to us?
That we are the essence of our thought life.
Yes. Young Literal Translation. Now, Young was an authority at that time, saying that the thoughts that I think about forming the person that I am. So if I'm thinking, if I'm reciting the Word of God, if I am speaking to God and I'm confessing the Word of God to God, what am I thinking about? The Word of God. That Word is impacting me. It's being written on the tablet of my heart. And it's changing me. It's changing the way I think, the way I believe. And as I do that, how does faith come? By hearing. The more I speak the word, the stronger it becomes inside of me. If you take a little child, for example, in your home, and you're a bad parent, and you say to this kid, God, you're stupid. You're so stupid. Can't you do anything right? And that child starts to hear that daily. What's going to happen? What's the child going to think of himself or herself? That they're stupid. That's what they're going to think. Now, if you change that, you say, you know what? You can do anything. You can do anything in God. If you set your heart to something and God blesses it, you can do anything. God loves you. God cares about you. God will help you in every single aspect of your life if you'll involve Him. Now what do we have? A completely different child, don't we? The words that we speak are critically important. Critically important. They don't change us instantly. They don't. But over a period of time, the words, they're seeds. And if we will plant them in our heart, and not rip them up, but we will plant them in our heart, and we'll water them, and we'll feed them, and say, I believe God. I believe that Jesus, you're my healer. I believe that you're my healer, Jesus. I believe that your word is working in me right now. It's working in me right now. It's doing a miracle. Your word is changing. Forgive me, a brand new heart. Brand new heart. I believe, God, that your word is working right now in my body. I thank God that I have the mind of Christ, and I'll never have Alzheimer's or dementia. I have the mind of Christ. Jesus never got Alzheimer's.
Amen.
God the Father is billions of years old, and he doesn't have it either.
Hallelujah.
And we don't have to have it. We have the mind of Christ. How do you know you have the mind of Christ? Anyone know? Where? No, First Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But if you don't believe you have the mind of Christ, you don't. It's really that simple. See, being in a position of righteousness is only half the job. It allows us then to be able to speak the word. See, it's like being in the family. You're in the family, but if you have a need and you don't tell anybody, that need can go very unmet. But if you go to your mother or your father and say, I'm really hungry, I haven't eaten since yesterday, there's a good chance they'll give you something to eat. We go to God the Father and say, or to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and say, you have said thus and so. I'm claiming thus and so. I'm claiming that for me. because you said I could have it. You said I could have it. Now, it may not appear instantly. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it didn't wither up instantly. They came by the next day, and they saw, gee, it's all withered up by the roots. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't stand over the tree all night going, come on, come on, come on, come on. And in the morning, they're going to look at you. So, come on, come on, come on. He spoke the word and he walked off because he wasn't worried about it. He wasn't worried that his words would come to fruition. He knew they would. He knew they would. But for you and I to get to that place, to get to the place where we're absolutely convinced about his word, it takes time. It takes time for us to do that. We take the promise, we plant it. We plant it by speaking it. When you look through the Bible here, you'll see, especially in the New Testament or in the Gospels, most of them had to say something to him. You know, the one with the issue of blood. If I just touch his garment, just touch his garment. Now, this woman was very, very, very desperate. She had spent everything she had, the Bible says, and got worse. Got worse. So this was a woman who was very committed to being healthy, or to getting healthy. Very committed. She spent everything she had. So when she heard about Jesus, and she heard that he heals people, she heard that. She could have sat at home and said, well, God knows I'm sick, you know. I mean, if he wants to heal me, he'll heal me. But she didn't do that. She came to the place of believing contact with Jesus equals health. Contact with Jesus equals health. So she risked to some degree because she was unclean. She should not have been mixing in the crowd. Jairus was there, the ruler of the synagogue, and you know she could have been excommunicated or any number of things. But she had to come to the place of being convinced. Risk, success. Risk, success. Which do I believe in more? Do I believe that no matter what, Jesus will heal me? Or am I just testing the waters? See, too often we're testing the waters. We're testing the waters. And that doesn't work. Doesn't work. We have to come to the place where we're absolutely convinced. Jesus, I believe that you are my healer. I believe you are my savior. I believe that you are my financier. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you. I take this promise. I take this promise, O God, and I believe it to be absolutely true. Absolutely true. It's not dependent on circumstances. In Exodus 23:25, it says, if you serve the Lord, your God, in other words, live in obedience, he will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. You don't even have to ask. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren, and I'll fulfill the number of your days. There's the promise from God. That's a huge promise. How do we get there? How do we get to the place where the promise becomes reality? Soak. Confess. Believe. Soak, confess, believe. Soak, confess, believe. And listen. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There may well be a very strategic plan for your circumstance, for your situation. God will tell you what it is. God will tell you if you listen. But you got to listen. You got to listen. Sometimes we think that because it's God, it should be instant. You know, we should be able to just kind of go pull a thing here and out comes the answer. But God's not like that. You know, God is not in a rush. And he wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship. And so when we spend time with God, quality time on an ongoing basis. The Bible says in, John 16, I think I read last time, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and He will tell you things to come. Well, if we don't ever stop to listen, how can He tell us? How can He guide someone who's too busy to be guided? We have to give Him the opportunity to speak to us. And when we give Him that opportunity, we can hear clearly, much more clearly, what God is trying to say. What is the Spirit of God saying to me in this situation? How do I go forward, Lord? What do I need to do? And sometimes I could take, I've had times when I've had to take a week and just isolate myself and just me, God, my Bible, and just wait on the Lord. Worship, read the Bible, pray, wait on the Lord. Not be distracted by TV and internet and all the other things, all the gadgets that are there. Just quietly before God. And God will speak to you. God will speak to you and tell you. Guarantee it. Amen. So Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your goodness, Your graciousness to us. We bless You this morning, Father. We bless You. We're very thankful for Your kind and generous Spirit to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And told me... Yeah, here they are. There are three scriptures. No, I think there was a fourth one too. The first one was Genesis 18:8.
It's 14.
Oh, 14:8?
18:14.
Oh, 18:14. Okay. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, Jesus was speaking, or God was speaking to Abraham, and He was telling him something. He was telling him a truth that would change his life forever. Nothing's too difficult for God. Nothing. See, we need to get that settled. Take the seed of that. That's a seed because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Take that seed and plant it. Plant it into your spirit. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Second one was Luke 1:37. Which says, with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, that was given in the context of a promise. What was the promise?
Mary would have Jesus.
Amen. She would have Jesus, Son of God. Now, let me tell you, you're a young lady and you're a virgin and you're betrothed to someone. And an angel shows up and says to you, you're going to have God's Son. Can you imagine what's going on in your head? You're going to have God's Son. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Oh, okay. You see how that might be a little hard to believe? So she had to take that seed and plant it. She had to take that seed and plant it. That had to be really, really hard to believe. Really hard to believe. It had never happened before. She had no reference for that. Now, I grant you, seeing an angel might help you, you know. But it's still pretty hard to believe. But it's a seed. So you take the seed of that word and you plant it. How do you plant it? How do you plant? The same way when God changed Abram's name to Abraham. What does Abraham mean? That's a seed. Every time He's told his name, He said, "Hi, I'm the father of many nations. Hi, I'm the father of many nations. My name is Father of Many Nations." Mark 9:23. Jesus speaking to the father whose son is demonized, and the disciples, we'd call them the spiritual elites of the day, couldn't do anything for him. They couldn't do anything for this child. Nothing. When Jesus comes along and says, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's overwhelming to hear that. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. All things. So how do I get to that place? I've got to take this seed and I've got to plant it. I got to plant it. I got to plant into my spirit that all things are possible if I can believe God's word. All things are possible if I can believe God's promise. All things are possible. All things. All things are possible. All things are possible. Every promise from God is possible if I can believe it.
Amen.
Every promise, every promise, every promise. What am I going to do with that? I got to plant it. I've got to plant it. And I'm trying to think what the fourth one was. Anybody remember what the fourth one was? Oh, yes, yes, yeah. That's with the Father, yes. Okay. All right. Well, this is a real doozy here. Okay, you're praying and asking God for something. Miracle. He says, yes, you can have it. And Jesus is personally coming with you to do it. And on the way home, someone says, we've been to your house. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Now what do you do? I mean, most of us would have packed up our bags and said, okay, we did our best. What did Jesus say to him? What did he say to him? So important. Do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. Now, that doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. The child's dead. It makes no sense. And you see, that's the place where the brain has got to get to, that God's promise, the seed of that word, is greater than any circumstance, even death. Even death cannot nullify the word of God.
Amen.
Once released.
Amen.
Once released. Is that Isaiah 55? My word spoken shall not return to me void. Once that word is released, if you can hang on to it, you can hang on to it, you can hang on to it, it will override any circumstance, even death. Even death can't stop the word of God. Even death can't stop the word of God. Even death can't stop the word of God. Even death. Now, I've only had one experience with that. But I watched someone come back to life who was dead by the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God. That doesn't mean you can do it in every situation. But in the situation where God has directed, yes, you can. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house to heal your daughter. Once those words are released, nothing else matters. Nothing. If you can believe. If you can believe. Now, if Jairus had said to Jesus, well, it's too bad. I thought it would work. Guess I was too late. His daughter's now dead. It's over. Only he could have stopped this. Only he could. Same as only you can. Only you can. That's why Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. In another case, he told the parents, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Why not? Because their words would nullify. That's why you got to plant these words. You got to plant them. If you'll plant them and water them, they'll work for you. They'll work for you. But if you don't plant them, you can't just read them one time and say, you know, amen, if I ever need you again, I'll look you up. You can't do that. These words have to consume you. They have to consume you. They have to become more real than the circumstance you're in. That's what has to happen. Now, fortunately, it can. It can. That's the way God designed it to be. Jesus said, I give you power and authority over every demonic thing, over disease, over sickness. What we do with it is strictly up to us, not Jesus. He's not going to do one more thing. He's already done it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.